That love that you have for us, Lord, just continually pouring it out on us and just showing us how much you love us, Lord. I thank you that we get more than we deserve. We get better than we could ever imagine at times, Lord. And I thank you that your love for us abounds, that it's flowing freely towards us at all times, Lord. And that, Father, it's based on you and your love more than on us and our actions, Lord. But I thank you that you're using your love to shape us and to guide us and to lead our actions, that we may be more and more like your Son Jesus, that we may express the love of Christ and the love of you through us unto other people around us. Lord, I pray for your anointing this morning. I pray it just speaks deeply into people's hearts and powerfully change and transform us from the inside out. Lord, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. So talking about change in the last couple of weeks, change is important. Okay, change is important. It's desperately important in a believer's life. Okay, if we don't have change, if we get kind of stuck in a rut, you become stagnant. Okay, like a stagnant pond. We've got a couple out behind the house that just sit there, and there's no water coming in or out very often. And so most of the time, they get kind of smelly. They get stagnant. Okay, and we don't want to be there as a believer. Okay, and your spiritual growth can be stunted. Okay, where you could be growing in certain areas of your life, but you're being held back because you're not allowing for change to happen. As we mature, though, we not only desire change in our life, but we begin to see the absolute need for change in our life. And I'll give you an example. If a guy that's a two-pack-a-day smoker goes into his doctor, and his doctor says, "Brother, you're going to be dead in 6 months if you don't quit smoking." Okay. Now he not only sees the desire, not only has a desire to change, but he sees the need for change. Okay, if I don't change, something negative is going to happen. Okay, for the Christian believer, we need change in our life. Because the current status quo is not, you know, reaching the lost. Okay? The current status quo is not changing lives. It's not growing the kingdom like it could be. Okay, we know as a mature believer that no growth equals no fruit. Okay, and if no fruit is produced, then that means there's no harvest. Okay, and if there's no harvest, then we're not accomplishing the best plan and will of God. Okay, God is not willing that any should perish, but he sends his people forth. There's a reproducing aspect to the Christian life that once you're saved as a Christian, you're part of that is that you're that seed that is implanted in other people's lives, and other people come to know Jesus because of you, and then they come to know Jesus because of them. Imagine the guy that led Billy Graham to Christ, what the seed that he planted was. Okay, we've all talked about how your spiritual development, we've talked about it in the last few weeks, how your spiritual development is linked with your emotional development. Okay, the Christian whose focus is always on themselves, it's always inward. Okay, like the two-year-old, you know, that example. Okay, the Christian whose focus is always inward and self-centered will not exemplify Christ through their life. Their focus is more on themselves. They can't get beyond themselves to be able to plant those seeds. The best that they will do is to maintain their salvation and sort of go through the motions of Christianity. Okay, but they're not sharing the hope of the gospel. Okay, and that eternal life message with the people that are perishing right around them. Okay, they've kind of gotten complacent with just, it's just me. Okay? Pastor used to say, it's me and my four and no more. Okay? And when we get that mentality, then it's all about you and just taking care of you and your family, and you forget that the world around you is perishing at an alarming rate. Okay, sometimes like a small child, people will simply assume that, you know what, this is just the way I am. This is just the way it is. Okay, and they just accept that and maintain that. A young child doesn't always know what the future holds, especially when they're real little. Okay, think about it. They don't know what it's going to be like 10 years down the road. They can't conceive that. They can't fathom that. Okay, some Christians, where you're at right now in your walk, it's hard for you to fathom being at a different level in your spiritual walk. That should be walking in the anointing of God. We talk sometimes about prophecy and, you know, speaking in a word of knowledge or some of those spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and wow, what would it be like to walk in that? It's hard for some people to even imagine what that would be like and to experience that. Okay, to lay hands on somebody and see them healed or to pray for somebody and all of a sudden they're delivered of something. You know, to see those things happening is a reality for mature believers. They see these things. They're experiencing it. They're walking in it. And yet, even for them, there's more. Okay, there's always another level in God. I haven't found it yet. And believe me, I'm a all or nothing guy. I'm going, pressing. Let's go as far as we can with God. And I know I haven't arrived yet. Okay, well, an attitude that gets to be self-focused affects your relationships. Okay, and that's where we're going to talk about this morning. I'll give you, I don't know if some of you are keeping track. I've been going through the different points and started a couple weeks ago, but number two in this is emotionally immature Christians have very few, if any, close or intimate friendships. Okay? Emotionally immature Christians have very few, if at all, if any, deeply emotional and intimate relationships. Okay? Now, it may be a period you're in life. Don't start looking down. Oh, that's me. I'm bad. Don't do that. Okay? It may be a period of time that you're in your life. My boys were asking me last night, Dad, what's your message about? I started telling them, and they said, well, what about us, Dad? We don't have very many personal, deep, you know. And I said, you know what? It's a time in your life. You've had them. Okay? And that family moved away, or this, you know, things happened. And so right now we're just in one of those seasons. And don't get down on yourself for a season, because God develops the world on seasons. Okay? Right? Summer, winter, fall, spring stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's seasons. And we don't get down on ourselves because of a season that you're going through. Okay? An immature Christian is going to have a lot of connections. Okay? They may have a lot of connections, a lot of first name basis people. Okay, a lot of acquaintances, a lot of people that, hey, John, how's it going? Good, good. How about you? Great, fine. And off they go. Okay, those are first name basis, they're kind of an acquaintance, a connection. But they truly know very few people. Okay, to intimately know them and their life and what's going on in their life. Their relationship focus tends to be on the old acronym is WITFM, I think, is what's in it for me. Okay, and so if they encounter somebody, that's the first thing that kind of unconsciously runs through their mind is what's in it for me. And if they can't gain something from this relationship, that person has nothing of value to offer them, they won't pursue it in any way. It's just a negative relationship, something they don't even want to get to know that person. They don't see a need to get to know them any better. Emotionally immature Christians don't know how to grow an intimacy. Okay, which is what deep personal relationships are made out of, is intimacy, getting close to people. Okay, truly valuable relationships involve the big T word. Anybody guess what that big T word is? Five letters. Trust. You got to trust people. Okay, in order to have a close relationship, that T word has to come into play at some point. Okay, it's got to be there or it just never develops. Okay, that trust means that you're going to have to open yourself up to someone and actually make yourself vulnerable to things like rejection, criticism. Okay, they don't like you. They found out more about you and they decided they didn't like you. There's a risk, right? Isn't there a risk in getting to know somebody and letting them know you and asking personal questions and getting that relationship going? It takes something. It takes a vulnerability of opening yourself up. It takes a risk. Now, not everybody's going to reject you. Okay, there's good people out there, right? Not everybody's going to reject you. Not everybody's going to be critical of you. But you still have to open yourself up to them in order to find out who you're truly compatible with. Okay, you want to have a good, close relationship? You're going to have to open up to somebody. Let them find out who you really are. Okay, not what you project on the outside. Okay, but let them get in a little deeper and hear you cry once, so to speak. Let them get in deep and find out what makes them tick. Find out what touches their heart. Find out, you know, a little more of those deeper things. That's how that bonding takes place, is by truly getting to know each other. Okay? Not everybody's going to like who you are deep down at your core. They may dig in, they may peel off a few layers, and maybe it touches something in their life, and they're just, you know what, this is too much for me, or, you know, it's just more than I want to be a part of, or whatever. But you're going to find that the people who do like you at your core, they find out about you and they like you anyway, they're good friends. That's a good friend. That's the one that can look past all the junk. They look past all the surface junk and they see that core person. Okay. Now, God talks in His Word about knowing no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not even going to get into that today, but there's a core in you that is your spirit. And when you get to know people by the Spirit instead of by their flesh and according to what their flesh wants to project, you'll get to know people a little better. We'll touch on that at a different time. Some people, though, they're gonna run from partner to partner, from relationship to relationship. And they're going to be breaking trust, breaking friendships all along the way, not even considering that it may be them that could be the problem. Okay, they in their mind, things happen and they start clicking it. Oh, they did this because of this and that's their fault and it's because of them. And they never realize that it's because their own insecurities are telling them that the people probably won't like them. So they reject the other person before they can reject them. That's what happens. People find out a little bit, I'm jumping ahead, but they find out a little bit about surface level. They don't like what's on the surface, so they jump to the next one. Okay, they jump to the next one because they're never getting in deep enough to find out who the core of that person is. They're taking them based on what that person is projecting on the outside. Okay, and that's not always the real person. I'll tell you, I know that. I've seen it over and over again that sometimes when people share deep personal things with you, okay, they share about deep things that are going on in their life, and then it's like they're embarrassed that they shared that with you, and they become afraid that you're going to reject them, so they just disappear. They just avoid you. They don't want to be around you anymore. I opened myself up. I became vulnerable to this person, and therefore, I think they're probably going to reject me. I'm just going to stay away from them and not address that anymore. Maybe you guys don't see that. As a pastor, I see it a lot. I do, because people come and they want to be able to, they want help, you know, and they want to be able to share stuff, and they tell me things, and it's like, you know what, I can share back, and I'll help you with that. I don't judge people, man. I've been there, done that, a lot of that stuff, okay? And so as they share things, then it gets to be that thing that, well, I opened up too much. I shared too much. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said this, okay? He's probably thinking this about me, or they're thinking that about me, and then they avoid, rather than continue on with that peeling off of the layers. Immature people tend to look for things that are wrong with people, okay, instead of looking for what's right with them, okay? Instead of esteeming people highly, looking for and hoping for the best in people, like it talks about in Corinthians, they tend to be critical and they find flaws in people because those flaws give them an easy reason not to develop any deeper kind of a relationship with them. You don't have to get closer to somebody if you can find flaws in them. Oh, well, you know, they never show up on time. I'm an on-time kind of person. And they start putting little excuses in their mind on why they can't connect with them. Some people complain about not having any friends, but the reality is they could have a lot of friends. But they have made 100 excuses in their own mind why they cannot hang out with this person or that person. Okay, well, I like the color green, and they like the color blue. We're just not compatible, right? Okay, they come up with reasons. That's a silly one. But sometimes it's they're too old. You know, I'm 20 and they're 40. I mean, we're different generations. We can't hang out. How could we ever be friends? Okay, that one's too needy. Okay, how many have said that about somebody? That person's just too needy. Don't want to hang out with them. Maybe you could meet their need. Maybe you could help encourage their life along. Help them to grow up. This one doesn't have kids the same age as mine. You know, that one is not into the same kinds of things. And that one, well, that one, they're just self-centered and critical. You know, right? Describing themselves, but talking about somebody else, right? If you truly want to have good friends in your life, you're going to have to open yourself up to others and get past that surface level, that acquaintance level of relationships in order to do it. It's not easy, but it is possible. Proverbs 18:24, there's scripture. It says that a man that has many friends must show himself friendly. And there is a brother, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got to be honest. When I studied this scripture, I find out it did not mean and does not mean what I thought it did. Okay? First glance at that, a man that has many friends must show himself friendly. If you want to have a bunch of friends, you got to be a friendly guy, right? You need to approach people and talk to many people and have this, but that's not what it's saying. Okay? When you really study that scripture out, it means that the one that has many surface level friends will open themselves up to a lot of criticism. But the one that gets past that level will find the true friends that stick with you closer than a brother. They'll stick with you through the good times and the bad times. Okay, now having a lot of friends is not a bad thing, but like I said, a lot of immature people have a lot of friends, but they're surface level. They're just name and acquaintance kind of stuff. They don't really know what's going on in their life. Some people pride themselves. I have a friend that has, I don't know how many friends on Facebook, and he likes to brag about it. You know, when he hit that 1,000 mark, you know, or when he crossed this number, whatever. And it's they're mere acquaintances. He doesn't know what's going on in their life, okay? And they don't know what's going on in his. They're just that number, okay? Surface level friends are more likely to hurt you because they don't truly know you and what's important to you. How can they? You like the color blue. They didn't know that you liked the color blue when they were bashing on blue cars and blue houses and blue this and blue that. They didn't know that because they didn't know that you liked the color blue. Does that make sense? They're going to hurt you. They're going to say things that offend you. They're going to step on your toes because they don't know what's important to you. They don't realize, you know, parts of your life. Certain things we think of are important, family and, you know, things like that. But boy, you know, maybe we talk about, you know, your job. Oh, you work for the UP Railroad? Boy, I heard that place stinks. Da, 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 da. You know? And yet, that person has always wanted to work for the UP Railroad. They've always wanted to do that. That's their dream job, and you're trashing on it because you don't know that about them. Okay? It's finding out about people. It's getting deep in with them. Okay? Surface level friends more likely to hurt you because they don't know what's important to you. They don't mean to offend you. Okay? But they didn't know that blue was your favorite color when they were slamming the color blue. You know, they just didn't realize that. What I have found is that on the surface, most people are not very real. Okay? They put on a facade on the front. Okay? They have an image. Okay, or they have a way that they present themselves because they want you to like them, but it's not really who they are down at their core. For them, it's nothing but a popularity contest. Okay, it's wanting to be popular, it's wanting to be liked. Okay, now that desire to be liked is internal. Every one of us has got it in there, and it struggles. A lot of people struggle in this area. They just want to be liked, so they will change who they are so that somebody will like them. They will be more like what they think they want. Okay? They're not even being who they want to be. They're being who they think that other person wants them to be, and they come across that way. Okay? This is who they think. This is who they want you to think that they are. This is who they are trying to be so that you'll like them. Okay? But deep down, these people still have feelings. They still have emotions. They have convictions. They have things that are important to them, and they have a sincere personality deep down in there that you may have to dig down to, that you may have to peel some layers off to get down to the real person before you can find a true friend, somebody that will be there for you. Okay, true friends are out there. I'll just tell you, they're out there. I have guys in my life, I may not talk to them for 10 years, but that guy would step in front of a bullet for me, and I know that. It's just the way it is. We bonded to that point. There's no part of his life or my part of my life that was withheld from one another. And we bonded to that point that we're that close in relationship. Okay, those people are out there. Okay, those relationships are there. Okay, people that have your back when the time calls for it are out there. Okay, now maybe some of you, you know, have made a friend that would do anything for you, or you know somebody in your life. Okay, they literally give you the shirt off their back, even without you asking. They're just like, hey man, I just wanted to give this to you. Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Okay? Tough times are tough enough without having someone to go through it with in life. Okay, and some of those times of going through it with somebody, it means a lot to them, much more than you even imagine. Okay, that you were there for them during that time. Okay, the preacher that wrote the book that we call Ecclesiastes, that literally means the preacher, but the preacher that wrote the preacher, okay, he said that after all the things that he had figured out in life, he learned that two are always better than one. Okay, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. He says, literally, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Okay? Now, maybe, you know, you're thinking about your life and you can't really think of anybody in your past or even in your current life that is really that close. Somebody that, you know, that is a true, sincere type of friend like I'm talking about. Maybe you don't have any or very many of those deep personal relationships. Okay, if you're missing this key ingredient in your life, I want to encourage you to talk to God about it. Okay, seek the Lord and ask Him. Let Him know what's going on in your life. Saying, Lord, you know my life. It's not like it's a surprise to Him, okay? But just talk to Him about it and say, Lord, I've seen this need. It's something I don't really have in my life, and I see that there is a need for it. And ask Him for His help, and He will help you. He will help you to step out, to take a chance on a friendship, okay? To endure that little bit of risk, because you're going to have to endure some risk in order to have a close relationship with somebody, okay? In the end, it's all going to be worth it. I guarantee you that most people are just as scared to allow themselves to be vulnerable as you are. Okay, people don't like to open up. Okay, I know it's not easy, but that other person is thinking and feeling that same way. They're afraid that this is going to go bad. Something's going to happen. It's going to be, you know, a bad experience. I've had them before. That's what they're thinking. Okay, and so as you open yourself up to them, if you pursue them even just a little bit, they realize that you're desiring to get past the surface level stuff and to really get to know them as a person. And that in itself will cause them to respond. Okay? It means something to them. The last thing I wanted to share with you this morning on relationships is remember to allow people to make that occasional mistake. Okay? People aren't perfect on the outside. We've still got the flesh. You're perfect on the inside. God looks at you. He sees perfection. But your flesh isn't. Your flesh struggles a little bit. Okay? And so some of those things come into play when you're in a relationship with somebody. People don't always say the right things. They don't always act in the right ways. Especially if they don't know you very well, they're going to step on your toes and say and do things that just don't make sense. And if you've allowed something as simple as an overlooked text or one haughty comment, somebody makes a prideful comment. Okay? Or you allow one bad experience, if you allow that to determine the depth of a person, then you're going to remain lonely and have superficial relationships. Okay? We got to give people a break like God gave you a break. Okay? Jesus said to forgive them like He has forgiven us. Right? Didn't forgive us after we changed. He forgave us first. Okay? I want to close out this morning with one other topic. It's along the same line, and I said it had to do with patience. But if you're writing it down, it's number 3. Okay, emotionally immature Christians are impatient and seek immediate gratification. Okay, they seek immediate gratification. They want things to please them right now. And if it doesn't please them, well, they'll just turn to the next possibility. And go on to that. Okay? That's in part why they bounce from relationship to relationship, because they go checking to see what the surface looks like, and if they find anything in that surface that they don't really like or it's not to their liking, they just bounce on to the next one. They never dig deep, not realizing that that's just a front. That's just a surface level, not real. I mean, it's what they're trying to project. I know I've told you guys in the past, let me go on my history and testimony, but man, I was a biker dude, you know? I mean, lived that way for a long time. That was one period in my life, okay? Because that's who I was associating with. That's who I was fitting in and wanting to fit in with at that time. Another time, I was a full-blown yuppie. I mean, just as yuppie-ish as you could get, you know? Okay? Another time, I was into, like, the dark stuff. You ever see those guys that always dress in black and dark and, you know, everything is dark? And that's when I went through that artistic period in life. I traveled around as an artist. Right, I was going to make a living that way. Failed miserably. Okay, so then I had to change my image. Had to become somebody else. Okay, and I think that's where in a different relationship came along. And guess what? Then I became the athletic jock, and I'm working out all the time. You know what I mean? That is to me, and I'm just telling on myself, that's immaturity as a person. If you are not who you are on a regular basis, I know sometimes we want to accommodate. You know, we want to get along with somebody. But I tell you, I learned a long time ago that my wife's not going to accommodate me. Okay? She doesn't like going hunting. She doesn't. Okay, and I drug her out in the beginning. Okay, oh yeah, I love to go hunting, you know. But it didn't last. Okay, and I know that about her at this point in life. I don't even ask. You know what I mean? I learned about people that sometimes in the beginning there is that, you know what, we'll do these things, you know, but in as time goes on, the real person comes out. We're, whatever, 17 years in or something now, and we know each other enough to, you know. Anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. Get to know people, and you realize that there's a surface level that people try to put out. Okay, that old adage of judging a book by its cover, anybody heard that expression? Okay, that's when you just go through, nah, I don't like the cover of that one. Nah, I don't like the cover of that one. There's really good stuff underneath that cover. Okay, there can be something really awesome in there, but you're judging it by the cover. You're not even giving it a chance. Okay, God stated plainly when he was showing Samuel how to pick the next king of Israel, that he doesn't just look at the outward appearance. He doesn't just look at the superficial stuff. Okay, he looks deep down inside to find the worth and the value to him. 1 Samuel 16, chapter 7, the Lord says to Samuel, he says, look not on his countenance or on the outside or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Okay, if you remember, the people are coming before him, and he's saying, oh, that one must be the king. Look at him. He's tall and handsome. That must be the... No, God says, no. I don't look at the outward stuff. I look at the inward stuff. And he goes through until he says, isn't there anybody left? He said, well, just a little sheep or a kid. And so they bring him in, and that's who's anointed king, right? Okay, God looks beyond the outward stuff, and that's what he's calling us to do. There's a deeper part of the people sitting around you this morning. There's a deeper part of that person that annoys you at work. There's a deeper part to the people that you encounter every day. There's something beyond what they're putting on the outside. Okay, immature people often are highly impulsive. Okay, they're going to run to quick fixes, especially in times of struggle or pain or discomfort. You know, they get into something, they run to something to try to fix that. I'm a fixer, I'm a solver kind of guy. That's the way I am. You know, press buttons till you find the right one that fixes this problem. I better stop there. Most often, even things like addictions, okay, are a product of an inability to manage emotions. Okay, addictions. It's a product of an inability to manage emotions, especially ones that make you feel uncomfortable. Okay, about your current situation, things like stress, things like anxiety. Okay, has anybody ever seen or heard somebody say they get into a stressful situation? Oh man, I could really use a cigarette right now. Okay, you know, or somebody says, oh man, I'm really looking forward to getting a drink after this. You know, they've got a fix. They have found out that drug is something that has become their go-to source, right? It's a source of relief from that stressful situation, okay? But you can be addicted to a lot of things. Okay, and this one's going to start cutting home a little bit. If you take a close self-examination of your life, okay, you'll see what it is that you... My mic just faded out. Okay, some people like to shut the world out. Okay, they're going to sleep. They're going to isolate. They're going to cover up their head. Just hope the world's a better place when they come out of hiding. Right? Anybody ever done that? I think I might have done that once or twice. I just don't want to get up today. Whatever. Okay, you still got to get up and face life. We often think of things like drugs and alcohol. Okay, as things that we run to for that quick fix of a stress. Okay, but there's a lot of things out there. Some people are addicted to working out. Okay, we've all known some runners and bikers and things like that in life. People that run to the gym a lot. I've been there. Not judging. I've been there. And not saying that that is. I'm not picking on Jeff because I know he rides and he's got reasons why he rides a bike. But things like spending money. Sometimes people like to shop. Okay. Even if they're not actually spending the money, they still like to shop. Okay. Online stuff. You can sit there for hours shopping and putting things in shopping carts and messing around. And well, I don't know. Some of you guys maybe can relate to Craigslist. once in a while I've done that, where you just, you don't even have the money to buy something, but you're still scrolling through, just, well, wonder what's for sale in Rollins. Oh, there's a trampoline, or oh, there's, you know, whatever. You know, you just look at what's out there. That's a, it's a fix. You're getting something out of that. Okay, other people, it's social interactions. They always have to be around somebody. Okay, always have to be around people. Can't be alone. Okay, we talked about that last week, the importance of being alone with God. Okay, get on your face before Him and talk to Him. Let Him deal with you. Let Him speak to you. Speak to Him. Okay, other people can be addicted to things like work. Things like being busy all the time. Can't have an idle moment. Okay, always got to be doing something. Always got to be going, going, going. Okay, and they keep themselves wound up all the time. Some people just get really negative. They get critical. Okay, they try to alleviate the way they're feeling by criticizing others, putting others down. Okay, we've heard that before. Others try to escape reality through TV. Okay, I just want to veg out on TV tonight, man. I had a stressful day. Okay, whatever. Watch something that draws your mind in. Okay, or reading books. It's a fantasy. Facebook, scrolling Facebook, okay? Those little fidget spinners or something else, I think. Little kids got those now. And that, it gets to be the thing where they just got to be spinning it, got to be having something going. Okay, when you take a good look at your life, you're going to see what it is you run to when you're anxious. And that's what I want you to think about. Go home, think about it. What do I run to when I get uptight, when I get anxious? Okay, an addiction is just an unhealthy attachment to something that you've learned to self-medicate with. Okay, and it will hinder your spiritual growth. Okay, it means I'm running to something other than God. Okay, and I'm not saying if you run to the Bible, okay, that's a great place to run, right? I just need a fix from God. Okay, and hopefully some of you have been there or at that at some point in life. Okay, but there's other things that you can do as well. The key is to watch how you respond to that stress and figure out where do you turn. Okay, do you rely on some outlet to avoid certain feelings or emotions, then ask yourself, could you detach from that outlet if you needed to? Could I not run to that? Could I not have that? Okay, anything that you can't detach from is probably emotionally controlling you, and it's keeping you from being who you are in Christ. Okay, because that, I remember as a young Christian, early on, still had a lot of addictions, and I was still pretty strung out, and I just remember crying at night and thinking, God, I just hate this stuff in my life. Number one, I felt like it was not allowing me to be who I was in Christ, because I just felt like it was causing me to be on a different, you know, to be altered, to have my mind altered. And I just knew that it wasn't right, and yet I still had addictions and still had those cravings and things that I wanted to be able to deal with. God addressed them. Praise God for that. There's some positive things. Let me end this on a positive note. Something that, for stress outlets, things that do line up with the Christian faith, things that even the Apostle Paul talked about, one in particular, that he was telling the Corinthians about the house of Stephanus. And he said that they had, quote, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Okay? They addicted themselves to the ministry to the saints. In other words, they thrived on helping the body of Christ to succeed and be their very best. Okay? Now think about that as an addiction, that your goal is to help other people in the body of Christ to thrive in their walk with God. Your goal, and think about maturity now. We're talking about growing up. Okay, and as you get to be a mature Christian, you're going to start looking at life saying, wait a minute, I know a few things that they don't know. I bet I could share with them. I bet I could mentor them. I bet I could disciple them. Okay, we're leading up to a full discipling church where we take care of one another and help the body of Christ to grow. Because remember, in the very beginning, I think I talked about the babies that come in. Maybe we haven't even got to that yet. Okay, but there's so many babies in the church today that the nursery's full. Okay, and so you get new Christians that come in off the street, and the nursery's full because they're all sitting out here. Okay, the whole nursery is not in the back room anymore. Now it's the whole sanctuary, and it's a bunch of baby Christians. Okay, and they're not growing up to the point that, you know what, I could be discipling this person, I should be discipling that person. That's that need to grow. Okay, that's a lead-in. You'll probably get more of that next week. Okay. Thriving on helping the body of Christ succeed, be their very best. You talk about lining up your life with the way of the new covenant believer. Okay, as you begin to mature, you begin to love others the way that I have loved you, like Jesus said. You begin to esteem others better than yourself. Okay, you begin to seek that you may edify others, edify the church. You seek that you may be not grow weary in well-doing. You begin to look for good opportunities. Galatians 6:9 literally says that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if we faint not. But as you have therefore let opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. It's looking for those opportunities. That's what Paul was saying. Those guys were addicted to that. They couldn't wait for him to get there because they wanted to be able to be a blessing. They were just waiting for an opportunity to bless and to look for ways to help one another. They were addicted to the ministry to the saints. And it sounds to me like they had some maturity manifesting in that church. Okay, the house of Stephanus, they were addicted to that. Okay, they were producing the fruit of Christians. One of my favorite anxiety moments in the Bible, a way to be able to deal with stress. We think about lots of ways that we do it, but it comes in 1 Kings chapter 19 when it's when Elijah is so overwhelmed. Remember Jezebel, he just slaughtered all these prophets and he had this great moment for God and he stood strong, and then Jezebel gets mad and says, just like you did to my prophets, I will do to you by tomorrow at this time. Okay, he threatens him and says, you're dead. Okay. And so she puts out this plot on him, and he runs for his life. And he goes and he hides out. And he has this emotional moment where he sits down with God and says, God, I don't even deserve to live. Go ahead and just take me now. Okay? And he's ready to give it all up right then and there. And God doesn't get after him. God doesn't, you tell him, where's your faith? You should be strong in faith. Remember what you did the other day? God didn't do any of that. God didn't even encourage him. God didn't even step up and say, you know what? You can do this. You've done things like this before. You need to be strong. And God did not even encourage him. Okay? In that moment, God didn't give him a pep talk. He didn't shame him for his lack of faith. Instead, he gave him a meal and let him go off to sleep. Twice. He woke up, God supernaturally provided him another meal, and he drifts off to sleep again. Okay, and I think the message in that is that a key to postponing gratification, a key to being patient long enough for God to put the circumstances in order for that blessing to come, is to remember to take care of yourself. Okay, if you're short on sleep, if you're ailing physically because you've neglected your body or neglected yourself, it's going to be much harder to wait for the promises of God to come to pass. You get impatient. How many of you know what being cranky is all about? When you get tired and cranky, okay? When you're tired and cranky, how much desire do you have to get involved in somebody else's life? How much desire do you have to let them get involved in your life? I don't want anything. Just leave me alone. I'm cranky. I didn't get enough sleep last night. Okay? And it begins to affect your relationships so that you can't grow deeper and more intimate in a relationship. Okay? You're not going to want to take the time to get to know people beyond that surface level. God knows that you're going to need strength to accomplish His plan for your life, so He designed you to need nourishment and to need that rest and to be able to get that for your body. So this week, spend some time focusing on the depth of your relationships. See where you're at. It's going to tell you a lot about the level of your spiritual development. Okay, are you looking at the surface level or the people that you come in contact with to see what kind of person they are? Or are you willing to peel off a layer or two? Go a little bit deeper. Find ways to get to know these people. See what they're truly made of. Okay, directly linked to your relationships then is how you deal with the pressure. Okay, the stress, the discomfort, the things in your life. Do you have healthy outlets? Or are you running into things that kind of create and develop that outward image, that surface level image? Okay, sometimes that's what we do. When I was running to the gym every day, 3 or 4 hours a day, man, I was in good shape. But that was what I was running to. That was my outlet. Okay? If you don't do anything else this week, at least start by doing those two things. Examine your relationships and your intimacy, and then look at yourself and how you take care of yourself physically. Okay? And that's going to help with your emotional part as well. So next week, I'll get into that. Father God, we praise you this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to just open ourselves up to you, Father. The easiest one to start with in all these relationships to open ourselves up to is you. Father, we know that you love us unconditionally. We know that you look past our faults and failures. Father, that you sent your Son to die for us individually, Lord. And we know that means that you love us and care for us intimately, personally. And Father, I pray that as we open ourselves up to you, that we learn from that about ourselves and about other people. We begin seeing our relationships different. We begin to go beyond where we're at in our walk right now to desire and to need and see the need for change and deep personal relationships to help us grow and to bond with one another, to see the body of Christ built and strengthened the way that you have called and designed for it to be, Father. We love you this morning, praise you, and thank you for your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.